What a great group, hey? Isn't that lovely to hear? This is the book, Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools. It's very hard to get because I think people at Door of Hope have outbought all the books that were available in Australia at one stage. But some of us have finished it and we are happy to hand on for you to read either. It's best in a group. You heard what happens when you read the book in a group, eh? It's great. Let's pray. We come because you are the risen Lord. We celebrate you. And you have taught us to pray. You've encouraged us to pray. And as we start this new series, teach us, Lord. Thank you that you are here with us now. Amen. I want to welcome you all, and to those online, welcome. Pray. Pray. Did you know that it is instinctive to pray? Prayer is instinctive. Most people, in fact, the writers I read say all people, but I don't know that. Most people pray at some stage in their life, whether it's just, oh God, there's an acknowledgement. There's a help. There's a, I can't do this. There's a thank you, a sorry. In my life, I've been to many countries. I've been on the top of a mountain, a high mountain, higher than any in Australia, looking down over a village with a prayer team, hands raised up, praying. Praying that they may know the Creator God. Meanwhile, around the monastery, many are walking around touching the prayer flags, touching the stones, the man who stands, doing their beads, working out for prayer. And then there's prayer when you're traveling in a Muslim country and everything stops. At the prayer time, people get out, face Mecca, pray. There's the people with their beads. There's people all over the world. It is instinctive to pray. God has made us a praying people. And yet, we pray, but we don't. In my journey through different peoples, I find, and this bothers me and surprises me, that Christians are the least likely to pray. Did you know that? Why? Well, you've got your why. I've had my why. Sometimes I've felt too ashamed. Sometimes I've felt I don't have the right words. I don't know what to say. Sometimes I'm overwhelmed. Sometimes I just think, does God really listen? Is God there? We pray, yet we don't. We like people to pray for us. Look, I have been at the building since 9 o'clock this morning, and I've had a few people hug me and whisper a prayer in my ear. The other day I was in the building and I am here Tuesdays and Wednesdays. I do some writing, and every now and then I go for a little walk, either for inspiration or for movement, because I'm old enough to know the bones creak if I don't walk. But I walk down, sometimes praying, sometimes out of this world, sometimes saying hello. And one day Heather was there, and Heather said to me, "Are you all right?" And I said, "I'm a little bit frustrated." She immediately prayed. Not with eyes closed. She didn't bow down. She didn't put a hand on me. She was over there. She just prayed, "God, help Sandy take away the frustration." That's all. We like people to pray for us, and yet we find it hard to pray for others. Prayer is instinctive. Why? Because God initiated it. Prayer is God's way of saying, "Hello, I'm here, I love you. I've made you to be with me in my presence, to connect, to converse, to weep, to cry, to laugh, to sing, whatever. I've made it so that we can come together. And that's why it's instinctive for us, because our God initiated prayer as a gift of communicating with the God Most High. Isn't that amazing? He initiated the prayer. It is God's desire, his beautiful, supreme, ardent, longing desire to be in relationship with us so that we can participate in what God is doing in this world, of what God wants to do in us, in our friends, in our community. Our God loves to laugh with us, to cry with us, to comfort, to correct ever so gently. He likes to hang around with us when we hang it all out. This is our God. He enjoys taking our burdens. He just plain wants to be with us and us to be with him. This is our God. He takes the initiative, and that's why it's instinctive. As I read this book, there's one little quote there that says, "Pray as you can, and don't try to pray as you can't." As I learned to pray over the years, it's been a funny journey. I remember praying in prayer meetings, as children, around circles, conversation, all kinds of things. But I remember when I seriously came to know Jesus, I used to go to the prayer meeting on Wednesday evenings. And these people prayed such long prayers with incredible words for everything. And so I didn't pray at all. I didn't know how in that setting. So I used to practice putting all the words together, and I thought, one day I'm going to really be able to do it. And of course I started one Wednesday night and someone said, "Amen." And I thought that was the end. I didn't know it was, "I agree with you." I thought they were saying, "It's time to finish." So I did. My prayer lasted a very short time. I remember, and I learned to pray. I could never outdo those people, and I didn't try after that. When I first joined the mission society to which I belonged for some years, there was a fellow there called Stuart Dinnan, and could he pray? And if he prayed, it seemed to happen. So then I got another false message. I don't need to pray if he's praying because it will happen. And so I thought, if he's prayed about it, that's it. But little did I understand that those hours of prayer, every day we met for prayer, and slowly I learned that it was a conversation. It was just praying. It was talking. It was silence. It was anything and everything. Because I soon discovered there was no wrong way to pray. Okay? There's no wrong way to pray. And I've been in discussions whether you should pray in the name of Jesus, and only then will your prayer be answered, whether you have to say "Our Father," whether you have to talk to the Holy Spirit. I've been in those theological discussions, and I say, what a waste of time. There's no wrong way to pray. Have you got that? Even if you don't have anything else today, that's important. But I also learned, especially as I worked with Stuart Dinnan and many of the others there, that I learned to pray by doing it. The more you practice, the more you want to do it. You pray by doing it. But you know, sometimes you stop doing it because you stop thinking that God's around, and it just is, why bother? And during this series, we will be looking at some of those questions. Does God answer prayer? What happens when I feel that God is a long way away? Why do I stop praying? When is a good time to pray? Sometimes I just don't have words. But I discover that one word sometimes is enough. Sorry. Thank you. Help. Oh no. Where are you, God? Are you here? Sometimes it's just simple. In fact, in the video, someone said it's simple. And this is what I was reading in this book and other places. I mean, either the word of God is true or it's not. And most of the time, we live as if we can recite the word, say what we believe, but somehow don't see it working out in our lives. So take that very simple verse from Philippians 4 that says, in everything, in prayer, with prayer and petition, and thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. When you're anxious, come to God with prayers and petitions and thanksgiving, and the peace of God will guard your heart and mind. But hey, who experiences it? Because anxiety, I'm not talking about clinical anxiety, I'm talking about the anxiety most of us carry in life. Anxiety is when we sit there and we try to fix it. If only they could do this, if only that, if only this would happen, and that, oh God. And somehow or other, in that period of anxiety, we find it very hard to release the anxiety and say, carry it. I give it to you. I give it to you, Lord. Yeah, God, it's yours. Prayer, petition, thanks, God, you carry it. I'm sorry, you're in control. You fix it. I can't. Amen. And wait for the peace of God to come and guard your mind, to switch it off. And you might immediately start worrying again and say, God, I've been there, done that. You're carrying it. I'm not. Think of a song. Think of a verse of scripture. Do something with thanksgiving. Thank you that you are a God who says, I will guard your heart and mind. So I don't have words. Sometimes I'm anxious and I don't really believe that it's as simple as it says. Sometimes I am embarrassed. I turn up with God and blow me down, I've lost it again. I'm in the same mess that I was in yesterday, the day before, the week before. And I don't ever think that I'll get out of the mess. And so I'm too embarrassed or ashamed or feeling guilty. And so, believe it or not, in those moments I try to avoid God. How dumb can I be? I know the scriptures. Where can I flee from you? Psalm 139, where can I go? If I go there, you're there. You know my thoughts before I say them. You know what's inside. And yet here am I, so embarrassed I'm hiding from God. Been there? Done that? Yeah, just say, God, I'm embarrassed. Here I am again. Just turn up. Just turn up. I'm sorry, God. I don't know. Maybe I've got to go and talk to someone about this. Maybe I've got to pray with another group of people about this so that we can share it together. But Lord, being embarrassed or ashamed is no excuse because you're God. I don't want anyone to ask me to pray out loud. That may be an excuse. Well, no one's asking you. Okay? No one's asking you to do that. Just pray. Mind you, I have found if I form the words with my mouth or my mind, you know what I'm saying here? I'm more likely to keep on praying. If I pray just quietly like this, I get distracted. Boy, I get distracted. I'm over there and then there and think, oh God, I was praying. So for me, what works is actually sometimes moving my mouth, even if it isn't out loud. You with that one too? Yeah. Or at least saying it like that in my mind. Do I have to kneel? No. Do I have to lie down and prostrate myself? No. It may help sometimes. But if you're like me, you'd probably be kneeling all day because you couldn't get back up. Some of you know that. So posture is not necessarily something that's outward, although it can be. Sometimes it can best be, here I am, Lord, or sitting in the chair with my arms, hands like this, relaxed, feet on the floor. But it's the posture inside that really matters the most. Here I am, God. Quietened myself. Here I am. Here's the best thing about prayer. Just turn up. Okay? Just turn up. Here I am, God. I've got no idea what to say. I don't know how to pray. But here I am, and I'm doing this because they said to do it on Sunday, and I'm supposed to be learning how to pray, and I'm here. I don't really know what to say, Lord, but that's okay. Maybe I'll just listen. Maybe I'll read something. But I'm turning up. Prayer, turning up for prayer says God is important in my life. Isn't that good? Turning up. Even if I just sit in silence, even if I don't say anything, even if I just read the Word of God, turning up says, God, you're important in my life. One of the things that we're going to do here is work through the Lord's Prayer. Now that's going to come up on the screen. We're going to pray it out loud. We'll do it from here. There's so many different versions, okay? And so if we read it, we'll all get it. I don't really care if you do it the way you've been taught. It doesn't really matter. Now, you can close your eyes. You can read. You can stand. You can sit. You can do anything at this moment. In a minute, we're all going to read it together with the understanding that Jesus and the disciples already had a prayer life. And the disciples of Jesus saw something different about how he prayed, when he prayed, where he prayed. And so they say in the Matthew account, teach us to pray. And so Jesus said to them, when you pray, say. So let's say it together. Our Father in heaven, may your name be revered as holy. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. Amen. Stay with it for a minute. The next weeks, each speaker will take one of those phrases. Today, we look at our Father in heaven, hallowed, holy, may your name be revered. Here is the first stumbling block for most of us, calling God Father. You know, it took me a long time to relate to God as Father. And sometimes I still struggle with that. I had a very absent father. I didn't really know what a father was supposed to do or be. Some of you have had abusive fathers. Some of you have had fathers who've left you. Your father, your biological father, is not the prototype. The other day I was driving here, and at the school, because you've got to pass a lot of schools to get here, I saw a father with a distressed child. She must have been just old enough to make it to school. And the child had her head on the shoulder. And the father was going like this, and she was going like that. And I thought, that's a beautiful picture of a father with a child. But even that father messes up, because all fathers mess up. Sorry, fathers, even the most perfect. so do mothers, and so do children. And so we get weird approaches to what father is about. Someone who you manipulate to get what you want. Someone who just gives you stuff or pops in now and then. But we go to God to see what a real father is like. Faithful. Never ceases being true love and perfect and kind. Generous, forgiving, merciful. So sometimes I have to remind myself that this is my God. This is our Father. This is our parent God. And in this relationship, I'm reminded about who is my God. And I go to Jesus and he calls God Father. Now, how about this? We're so used to it. But in that day and age, that was reckless. That was sheer rebellion. No one called God Father. That was too familiar. It was relational. But Jesus did it. And Jesus invites us to do it. Jesus did it as the Son of the Living God. And it reminds us that God is our Father, mine and ours. And so the Father is about familiar relationship. You got that? About this familiar Father. I can call God Father. And it reminds me of two things. Who God is in this verse? Father. And who I am. The forever child. I know someone once said to me, for goodness sake, grow up, we've got to be adults, but get this, this is a picture of the Christian as Peter Pan, the eternal young. That's who we are. It's just one picture of our relationship. You got that? Father, child, I am forever the child of God. And that is my identity. I am the child of God because I have asked the Lord to be my Lord and my Savior, my God. I have given my life to him and I recognize who my true Father is, God, creator of heaven and earth. He's in heaven. The word here is actually plural, the heavens. It simply means the skies. God is here. We've had heaven come down onto earth. And so God is here. The Psalm 139, where shall I flee from your presence? There's nowhere where God is not. He is present. So God is the air I breathe. God is near and close. This is the closeness of God, the God coming, the Father, the familiar one. And then it says, may your name be revered. Remember that even though God is familiar, even though God has this beautiful relationship of father and child, he is also to be reverenced because there's a distinctive difference about who God is. He's special, he's unique, he's high, he's lifted up, he's separate from, he's transcendent, he's creator. He knows everything. Everything belongs to him. And I am but a child needing this God who comes close and yet is bigger than. Isn't that amazing? So I remember the two facets. And here's the third thing. I remember who God is, my Father, creator, holy, distinct, different, close. I'm his child, and you are my family. You're my brothers and sisters, whether I like it or not. No choice here. And this is where the world needs to look on and see how well we love each other. But you know, and I know, how well I don't love. You know I get irritable. You know I get disappointed. You know I judge. And so family of God is very difficult because we expect the other to always be reaching out into our lives instead of us taking the initiative. Sibling rivalry says stop seeing the other as different. See the other as equally loved by God, special brother and sister, and you take the initiative into their lives. Forgive them. More about that later. Provide for them. More about that later. Love them through the Father. And this is what God says, love me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your brothers and sisters and your neighbors as much as you love yourself. So we're just going to do a little practice. Most of you know the verse, be still and know that I am God. So put 2 feet on the ground, if you can reach the ground. Open your hands like this. And just in a moment of stillness, know who your God is. Name all the names that you know about your God. Welcome, God the Father, into your life again and anew, and be reminded that you are his child. Look and see your brothers and sisters, your neighbor, and see them as God sees them, with great love. Be still and know that I am God. You are my child and you belong to my family. It's one other thing we're going to do is to read this together. You had it handed out. It's going to be a little bit of music. Read it along as I read it. Take it home. Read it. Holy One, there is something I want to tell you. But there have been errands to run, bills to pay, arrangements to make, meetings to attend, friends to entertain, washing to do. And I forget what I want to say to you. And mostly, I forget what I'm about and why. Oh God, please don't forget me. Please, for the sake of Jesus. Eternal One, there is something I want to tell you, but my mind races with worrying and watching and weighing and planning, with rutted slights and pothole grievances, with leaky dreams and leaky plumbing and leaky relationships I keep trying to plug up. And my attention is preoccupied with loneliness, doubt, and with things I covet. And I forget what it is I want to say to you and how to say it honestly and how to do much of anything. Oh God, don't forget me, please, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Almighty One, there is something I wanted to ask you, but I stumbled along the edge of a nameless rage, haunted by hundreds of floating fears of terrorists of all kinds. Losing my job, of failing, of getting sick and old, having loved ones die, of dying. And I forget. The real question is that I wanted to ask, and I forget to listen anyhow. Because you seem unreal and far away, and I forget what it is. I have forgotten. Oh God, don't forget me, please, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Oh, Father in heaven, perhaps you've already heard what I wanted to tell you. What I wanted to ask is, forgive me, heal me, increase my courage, please. Renew in me a little of love and faith and a sense of confidence and a vision of what it might mean to live as though you were real and I mattered, and everyone was sister and brother. What I want to ask in my blundering way is don't give up on me. Don't become too sad about me, but laugh with me and try again with me, and I will try with you too. What I wanted to ask is for peace, enough to want to work for more, for joy, enough to share, and for awareness that is keen enough to sense your presence. Here, now, there, then, always. Amen.